Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune, and boy, do we have plenty to talk about this week, mostly because a lot of the things we said last week was, this better not happen, this better not happen, this better not happen, or we'll be talking about it. Well, a lot of those things came to bear as the Tigers barely slipped past Middle Tennessee State 23-19.
Yeah, I would call that an escape.
Right.
They escaped with a win against a team that they should have beat by a lot.
Yeah. And this is becoming a thing. I mean, you know, the last couple meetings, you know, the 2003 meeting was an overtime win over Middle Tennessee State. The 2016 was a homecoming loss. This one looked like it was setting up for another loss at, you know, at home. So you get a win. I guess you got to be pleased with the win, but it's also a win that I don't know that there are a lot of things you look at and go, my, that was a good thing from that game.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee weirdly scrappy in Columbia for some reason.
Yeah.
I couldn't place it, but man, yeah, not a lot of bright sides coming out of that game Saturday.
So let's just delineate these things, because we'll talk about the defense, which I do think was okay for the Tigers, in a minute. We got to start with the offense, because that's what everybody's going to want to start with, and that's what we kind of have to start with. So the biggest thing, I guess, is you take away from that game, it's not like you're, you know, take nothing away from Middle Tennessee State, but that's not one of those teams where you go, this is an elite pass rush defense that you are going to have to be ready for to cause you problems all game long. But that was what the Tigers faced last Saturday.
Yeah, so they were definitely a pressure team on defense. They like sending a lot of pressure. Mizzou could not handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, four sacks, a lot of hurries. It kept them from trying deep balls for most of the game, which I think, judging by the first two series, the idea was going to be trying to throw a lot of deep balls.
Okay.
And they just completely went away from it because they could not get the time to let the play develop.
And that's the thing that I think is kind of frustrating from the standpoint of, like, teams are going to have success at times, but when it disrupts your whole kind of, you know, here's what we're going to do going in, here's our game plan, here's what we would like to do, and you can't do any of that, then you're almost just like, you're just, from the second the game starts, you're just surviving, which is kind of what it kind of felt like every time they're out there. You're like, well, maybe this drive they can get something going. It wasn't ever like you felt like, it's just a matter of time, it's coming. You never felt like it was like, we've settled in. They just never looked settled in on offense at all.
No, and I mean, you know, first drive, you miss on the deep ball to Luther. It's a little bit underthrown. He has to come back into coverage for it and can't hang on as he's getting hit. Second drive, you try another deep ball to Luther. It's a little bit overthrown, so you got the exact other issue. You know, just the timing wasn't quite there, which, it's early in the season. That's okay. You know, that's not a terrible thing if the deep balls aren't hitting every time yet. But, like, they need to start sooner or later.
Right.
And teams are going to get better from here. If
you
can't hit on them because Middle Tennessee is sending too much pressure for you to have time for it, when you get into the SEC schedule, every team's going to be sending too much pressure.
Right.
They're going to be getting that pressure with only four guys.
Yeah. So your hope is, okay, if you go in thinking we might be able to hit some deep stuff, or we're going to try to make that a concerted effort tonight, and that's not working, your hope is that then if it's like, okay, well, if the passing game is not working, at least we're going to be able to carve out something on the ground. Or maybe, you know, we'll adapt and they'll be giving us that, so we'll take that. Well, they only took that to the tune of 141 yards. So it's not like you go, the rushing game came through and the passing game couldn't. It wasn't a matter of either one of them doing much of anything. Because you look at, you know, Cody Schrader ends up with 23 carries for 84. And, you know, Nate Pete only has 51 yards. So it's not like you're going, okay, well, you know, none of that was too flashy. So it's not like you go, okay, this one got better as the game went on. It just didn't. Nothing was real good.
I don't think the rushing game was fantastic. I don't think it was as stagnant as those numbers make
sure,
it look.
Sure.
Because in college you get the sacks factored in. So that's four plays where you lose a good chunk of yardage on and four extra attempts. And then they took three knees at the end of the game that lost like 18 total yards.
Okay.
Because they needed to run out extra time. So that's another three attempts for a big loss.
Sure.
So really, like, if you take out seven of those attempts and you add on 30 yards, it looks a lot better.
Okay.
It still wasn't, like, fantastic. It wasn't as good as it should have been against Middle Tennessee. I will say Nate Pete looked pretty good.
Okay.
He did not get a lot of touches.
Right.
He, you know, Trader, congrats to him. He got over 4,000 career yards in the game.
Sure.
That's great.
Right.
He didn't look incredible. And then they brought in Pete for a drive, and he looked pretty good.
Right.
He was able to get outside, was able to get chunk yardage, and then just didn't go back to him for a while. He did also end up with a 49-yard touchdown catch, which makes the passing numbers look a lot better than they probably should have.
Absolutely.
Because just nobody followed him as he motioned out on a wheel route.
Right.
Just no defender went with him at all.
Right.
It was the most open I've ever seen anybody in a college football game.
Right.
You know, so I think the rushing numbers look a little worse than they probably felt like during the game, and the passing numbers probably look a little better because you got that one play.
So I guess the question is then, you know, we've talked a lot about, okay, well, we're going to try this, or personnel last year didn't maybe allow us to do this. This year, maybe we're going to try it, or this year we're going to open up the playbook. We're going to try to do this. But it also is kind of disconcerting where you go, okay, so far that doesn't seem like it's been the case early on. Plus, it seems like if you've got something that's working, like a Nate Pete, why don't you ride that? It just seems like there are these things where it's just like, oh, that wasn't part of the game plan, so we can't adapt on the fly and exploit that. Why wouldn't you give him more carries if that seems to be working?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Because, yeah, that's something where, like, hey, this is working. We're getting chunk yardage. Let's just keep doing that.
Right.
Right? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me how you end up seeing, you know, that drive where Pete comes in and then saying, we're not going to go back to him for another quarter.
Right.
You know, it just, there's a weird sense about that decision. And, you know, Coach Drinkwich mentioned it after the game. He said, we need to get Nate more touches.
Yeah.
Which they're probably going to try to do this week. I don't know if that's going to work as well, because we, you know, saw the difference between Trader and Pete once they got into, like, Power 5 games last year.
Sure.
And Trader looked significantly better once you got it, especially into the SEC schedule. So I don't know why it worked that way in the non-con schedule last year, because it seemed pretty similar. Nate Pete seemed like the better option in the non-con schedule last year, and then you get into the conference schedule, and Trader's significantly the better option.
Yeah. I guess that's where my frustration arises, though, when you hear coaches in the post-game go, we need to get Nate Pete more touches. You had a whole game to get Nate Pete more touches. So do it.
Yeah.
You're the guy who's in charge. Make it happen. I mean, if you're recognizing, and maybe he's not recognizing until he looks at the box score after the game, in which case then you need somebody helping you out in-game going, it's working now, let's notice it now, as opposed to, oh, we noticed it later, and then it's too late to do anything about it later. And that's, again, that's just kind of the frustration I have right now. All right, let's flip it to the defense for a little bit, because I think it, you know, defense comes into the game, you know, you think, okay, this is a game where you can probably get healthy, you can make your stats look a little bit better. 19's not horrible to give up, but I do think that there's maybe some cause for concern from the standpoint of you allow them to go 9 of 18 on third down conversions, and it seems like all of those came in the second half when they needed to have them, and you let them go 2 of 3 on fourth down conversions. So big plays, they did not necessarily play big on those big plays.
I would say it was really two major drives, because, you know, you get 19 total, two of those are off the safety late, you know. I would say it was really two extended drives where all of those third down conversions showed up, the two fourth down conversions showed up, and especially the first one just felt like it was just screens and, like, zone read options.
Okay.
And the defensive line just could not contain around the edge.
Right.
And was letting everybody get outside. Just play after play after play, especially on third and fourth down, and it was just wide open.
Right.
You know, and it seemed that was, I think, mostly the issue, was just not being able to get that contained. And then there was also a couple of those third downs were just fantastic catches by a couple Middle Tennessee receivers. I mean, there were a couple of guys whose name I cannot remember right now who they would just make these back shoulder catches on throws that were, you know, just a little bit too far behind them.
Right.
And just spinning, making a catch on third down, just getting right past the sticks. And they were fantastic plays. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes that's just going to happen.
Right.
But the edge contain was really, I think, the main issue on defense on those two big drives, where it's just like, you have to be able to stop this at some point.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, the way that college football is these days with you know, transfer portal and the ability to move whenever you want to, and teams being able to offer NIL. So you're seeing maybe some places where you do have a little bit of more of a level playing field than maybe it used to be at times. But I still think this is one of those games where you can spotlight it and go, okay, you're a Power 5 school that's playing somebody where technically you should have the edge in athletes.
At every position. That's why you schedule that game.
Exactly. And in a game like this where you have those games or you have those situations where it's like, we need to stop on third down, that's where you think that quote-unquote edge you have in athletic ability should come to bear. And you should at least make one or two of those plays where you go, this is a must-stop. They didn't make any of those plays. And I guess that's the frustrating part where you go, you guys are supposed to be better than them. So be better than them. And that's, I guess, the worrisome fact where you go, gosh, if you're having problems against somebody where you theoretically have a major edge in athleticism against, that's going to be problematic when you get to some of the later teams on your schedule, including the one we'll talk about here in a moment with the team you're going to be playing this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you schedule South Dakota and Middle Tennessee State
right.
as your first two games, is because they're games where when you need something to happen, it should just be able to happen.
Right.
Because your guys are better than their guys.
Yeah.
That's the point of putting those two games as your first two games in the schedule.
Right. So the end result, I guess, is they've won those first two games on their schedule. They're a little bit lackluster. You know, you got your 35-10 against South Dakota, your 23-19 against Middle Tennessee. You're playing a team this week. You're hosting Kansas State, 11 o'clock today, SEC Network. They're also 2-0. And they've kind of put up the results that you want to see from the standpoint of, you know, where what you want to see from your schedule is you play a Southeast Missouri State, you beat them 45-0. You play a Troy, you beat them 42-13. They're getting the results that kind of look like what you want out of these early season games. So I guess you'd say if one team's coming in hotter than the other, they're both 2-0, but I think I'd take Kansas State's 2-0 rather than Missouri's 2-0 at this point.
They've certainly looked better in the two gimme games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what those games are supposed to look like score-wise, right? That's, like I said, that's why you schedule those games, is because you want to rack up those big numbers and have a chance to get a bunch of guys playing time and, you know, work on different things that you think might be able to work once you get into bigger and better games, because they should work when you're playing those teams.
Yeah. So it's the second straight year these teams will be playing. It's the first matchup in Columbia since, what, 2010? So, you know, it's been a little while since they saw him here, but we saw him last year in Manhattan, and it didn't go the Tigers' way and really looked pretty rugged at times, let's say. But how much of that then leads us to worry about this year's matchup? What do we have to be concerned about in terms of what do the Wildcats bring back from that team that, you know, cruised pretty easy last year?
Yeah, that was not a pretty game,
right?
I'd say. you know, that was also the game where Brady Cook got hurt. Eventually played through an injury the rest of the season, so
right.
You know, hopefully you're not seeing that type of thing again.
Right.
Kansas State, it was, I believe, Adrian Martinez played that whole game at quarterback. He ended up getting replaced later in the season by Will Howard. Will Howard is the one who's back, so different quarterback for the Wildcats than Mizzou saw last year, but not different than their offense ran for the majority of the season.
Right.
Deuce Vaughn is gone. He's now on the Cowboys.
Okay.
So
that'll help.
That helps a lot. He's very good.
Right.
They have replaced him with a couple of transfers in DJ Giddens and Trishon Ward, who have done pretty well through two games. And then Phillip Brooks is probably the guy who stands out, who's coming back, because he had a special teams touchdown last year. He's the main receiver this year and has been doing a very good job. So, yeah, I mean, Kansas State's a good team. They won the Big 12 last year.
Right.
Against a team that went on to the college football championship.
Right.
So, you know, they're a legit opponent. It's the first real opponent that Missouri has played so far this year. And, you know, they're going to have to play significantly better than they did last week and significantly better than they did week one.
Yeah. So I think obviously Missouri is going to have to raise both sides of the ball in terms of how their performance from last week to this week to have any shot. But if you had to pick one rather than another, what does this game hinge upon? Is it going to be the Missouri defense stopping that offense, or is it going to be that Missouri offense being able to kind of seem like they've got a clue and be productive?
I would say the defense has a better chance at, you know, being holding Kansas State offense back.
Right.
Right. I think that is a very legitimate thing that could happen. If the offense, you know, comes out and puts up 40 points, that would surprise me a lot.
Right.
And, you know, that's when you win.
Right.
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 So if the offense is able to blow up and have a huge game, I think Mizzou's got a great shot. I think the defense could legitimately hold Kansas State pretty well. And it's not going to be incredible. You're not going to, you know, hold them under 20, probably.
Right.
So the offense has to then score probably 30 or more.
So if you were a betting man, what's the odds that, you know what, maybe Missouri was just playing these last 2 weeks close to the vest and didn't want to show a single thing, and we come out and we see some Missouri offense that's completely different than the last 2 weeks? I mean, do you think that's likely? I mean, do you think that seems to be something that they could have in their back pocket?
I think they're going to spread the ball around a bit more passing-wise. Just a stat that has shocked me through the first 2 weeks is Luther Burden has 15 catches for 213 yards, and the rest of the team has 19 catches for 217.
Okay.
So he's been about half of the receiving game. I don't expect that this week. You're going to start getting teams that can really key on him in
right.
a way that South Dakota and Middle Tennessee weren't able to.
Sure.
So you're going to get, like, a Theo Weiss more involved after, you know, he had a very nice catch on his touchdown last week. I expect him to be getting the ball more, probably Mookie Cooper too, maybe Makai Miller if he's, you know, able to be a full go. I know he missed part of the game last week.
By the way, both the guys that you named, you know, Weiss with just four catches, Miller with four catches, and Mookie with just one so far. Yeah, so it's like you kind of hope that at some point somebody can kind of start becoming a little more of a dependable option rather than this guy caught, you know, one in two games, this guy caught two each of the last two games.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of, you know, what you're going to see if you've got, what, 9 or 10 guys with catches, and one guy has half of the catches.
Right.
That means you've got only 14 to spread out the rest of the way. Missouri only threw 19 times last week.
Right.
Because they didn't have time to get the ball out. So I would expect probably some more quick hitting options available for Brady this week, and probably some more getting balls to guys not named Luther, because Kansas State's going to definitely key in on him.
Right. So I guess one of the other things that we, you know, haven't touched on yet, but, you know, you want to have all hands on deck for a game like this. So how's the overall health of the team coming in at this point?
So kind of the same as it has been the last 2 weeks. Chad Bailey is still listed as questionable. He dressed and went through warm-ups last week but did not play. Afterward, it was kind of, you know, it was talked about and, like, it'd be good for him to get the action of warm-ups and everything, but there was never an expectation for him to play last week, and his prognosis was always maybe this week. I think at best you see him for a few series, not the whole game for sure, and that's if he's been feeling real good at practice all week. J.C. Carlisle was announced as a starter last week and played, so he's pretty fully back, seems like. And then the other guys on the injury report, as far as I've seen, are, you know, not big impact players.
Gotcha. All right, I know which way I'm leaning in terms of a prediction. I think I'm hoping for just one of those moral victory games where you go, keep it close, maybe, you know, acquit yourself well and be better than you were the last 2 weeks. But that's me. How do you see this one playing out today?
Missouri has really not impressed me through the first 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, if you're putting up performances like that against Middle Tennessee, and you're going to go up against a team that beat a team that played in the college football championship last year, I don't think it's going to be real, real good. So I'll say Kansas State 35, Missouri 21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabee on Twitter at Kyle_McArabee. That's McArabee. Thanks for listening.